भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। This is a verse I was mentioned it yesterday, and read a little more, and it from the eighth canto, Lord Shiva saves the universe. Briefly, the history is that when the demons and demigods are churning the milk ocean, then poison comes out, and that poison starts to spread everywhere, and it endangers all living entities. So then Lord Shiva comes and he drinks it. He gathers all the poison and drinks it into his hand. That's why he gets called Nilakanta. He has a blue throat because of the effect of that poison. Not really that Lord Shiva becomes affected by material poison, but it's his lila or pastime. And so Sukadeva Goswami, in describing this, he sort of concludes right at the end of this chapter. He says, "Tapyante lokatapena sadava prayashojana paramaradhanam tadhi purusha syakilatmana." It's a verse devotees can meditate on, learn. Very important verse. Did you look up your first canto verse? And it says, "It is said that great personalities almost always accept voluntary suffering because of the suffering of people in general. This is considered the highest method of worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is present in everyone's heart." Let's just repeat that. Get a little air, a little window. You know, this is, temple room is always like this. It is said that great personalities almost always accept voluntary suffering because of the suffering of people in general. This is considered the highest method of worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is present in everyone's heart." And Srila Prabhupada writes, I'll just read some. "Here's an explanation of how those engaged in activities for the welfare of others are very quickly recognized by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita, 'Yaidam parmam guyam madbhakteshu avidashyati nachata asmam manusheshu kashidme kriyakritamaha.' One who preaches the message of Bhagavad Gita to my devotees is most dear to me. No one can excel him in satisfying me by worship. There are different kinds of welfare activities in the world, but the supreme welfare activity is spreading of Krishna consciousness. Other welfare activities cannot be effective, for the laws of nature and the results of karma cannot be checked. It is by destiny or the laws of karma that one must suffer or enjoy. For instance, if one is given a court order, he must accept it, whether it brings suffering or profit. Similarly, everyone is under obligation to karma and its reactions. No one can change this. Therefore, the Shastra says, 'Tasyaiva heto prayate takovido na labhyate yad brahmatam upariha.' One should endeavor for that which is never obtained by wandering up and down in the universe as a result of the reactions of karma." What is that? One should endeavor to be Krishna conscious. If one tries to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, he should be understood to be performing the best welfare activity. The Lord is automatically very pleased with him. If the Lord is pleased with him, what is left for him to achieve? if one has been recognized by the Lord, even if he does not ask the Lord for anything, the Lord who is within everyone supplies him whatever he wants. So it says, Tapyante Lokatapina. Tapa means suffering, burning. Lokatapina, accepting voluntary suffering. That's what here is being identified with, giving Krishna consciousness to others, whether we do it by distributing books, distributing prasadam, chanting the holy name, preaching, speaking to people. It will come with difficulty. It's not an easy thing to do. But still, here, Shukadeva Goswami says, but still great souls almost always do this. He says that prayasha, praya, means almost. We'll come back to that. And what is, how does Krishna relate to this? He says, akila atmana, the super soul, purushasya, that person who is the super soul within everyone's heart, he considers this parama aradhana. Aradhana, aradhanam sarvesham vishnu aradhanam param. Aradhana means to worship. And that's where the word radha is derived from, that who is the best worshiper. So parama aradhana, parama means topmost. So the topmost standard of worship, what's the best worship? This is the best way to worship Krishna, is to give knowledge of Krishna to others, to preach, and accept the difficulty that will naturally come along with that. Just like when I was in Mayapur, well, that was last year. But then I was, I guess, Bhavananda Prabhu about this Leela story. That sometimes devotees question its validity. But it was spoken to him by Srila Prabhupada, and then he confirmed it. He said that it was in Los Angeles, and he went over to Srila Prabhupada's room, and he was there, and Upendra Prabhu, who since has left his body, and then Prabhupada very clearly in so many words said, he said, I was there in the spiritual world, Krishna asked me to come. He says, I didn't want to come. He said, I want to go to that place, a very nasty place. And then but Krishna prevailed. He says, no, you should come, it's all right. And Prabhupada said, no, I don't want to go, it's a very bad place. And Krishna said, so you come and I'll take care of everything. You don't have to worry about anything. So so Prabhupada's reply even then was, it's a nasty place. Spiritual world is a nasty place. It's not a desirable place. Why? Because you have to accept all kinds of difficulties. And we see Prabhupada accepted difficulty. He lived, of course, he lived in relatively good conditions as a child and even as a grihastha, but especially then when he took vanaprastha and he took sannyas, and Prabhupada had no income. He sacrificed everything that he had for publishing books. And then, of course, he came 50 years ago to the West. And then he had heart attack on the ship, all for the purpose of tapyante lokatapina, giving Krishna consciousness to others. So even the eternally liberated souls have to accept those circumstances because this is the best way. This is what pleases Krishna the most. It's the best form of worship. Why does it please Krishna the most? Because it brings those conditioned souls who don't know what real happiness is, don't know what real nectar is. It takes them out of their unfortunate position, and it gives them the good fortune of tasting the nectar of Krishna's association. And simultaneously, it also increases Krishna's pleasure because it increases the number of living entities with whom Krishna can transcendentally reciprocate. So Parama Aradhana, this is the best type of worship. And Prabhupada doesn't really go into explaining the verse in this way. He immediately points out how when devotees do this, or someone does this, then they naturally become recognized by the Lord. Krishna immediately recognized that person. Of course, Krishna accepts every type of service, jayajitamam prapadyante. But because the service is in itself most favored by Krishna, because there are difficulties, completely selfish difficulties associated with it, so parama aradhana. And that's why Prabhupada, he would say that. He says, the secret to getting Krishna's attention is to preach. He says, if you want to get Krishna's attention, then you preach, and you'll be very quickly recognized by Krishna. And for that reason, Bhaktisthanta Saraswati Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Prabhupada, they called the Babajis who were chanting, who knows, maybe 192 rounds in Radhakund and living very austere lifetime, austere lives, Kanishtha Adhikaris. Kanishtha, maybe they're spiritually advanced, who knows. Generally, that's not the opinion, but even if they are, but still their attitude is a selfish one. They're worrying about their own spiritual advancement. They don't have this type of larger or greater mood, which is the mood of a madhyamadhikari, prema, maitri, kripa, upeksha, sakkaroti, samadhyama, is that they're concerned about other people. They're not just thinking about themselves. I want to go back to Godhead. I want to become a pure devotee. Because in one sense, that's already a given. So if you're following regulated principles, chanting 16 rounds, you're going back to Godhead anyway. And given a certain period of time, but the question is, what do you do in the meantime? You want to accelerate the process or just trust in the process itself and in the meantime give others the same opportunity? So that's why it's called Parama Aradhana. But why Prayasha? Why almost always? So Adla yesterday were mentioning that, because when great personalities are in the stage or in the mood or in the consciousness of an Uttama Adhikari, they don't see that people are suffering. They just see that everyone's engaged in Krishna service. So they don't see any need to preach because everyone's already serving Krishna. Even if they're in Maya, they're part of Krishna's Leela, Krishna's plan, and therefore they don't necessarily preach. But when they come to the platform of intermediate Vaishnavas, Madhyam Adhikaris, then they immediately see that they are the innocent and the envious and devotees, the non-devotees, they make that distinction. And then immediately what they do is they preach. And we see Srila Prabhupada had this relentless, unrelenting desire to give Krishna consciousness to others. When Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, then even though he couldn't actually even move at that time or travel, he came to London with the idea that he was going to actually go to Gita Nagari and establish Varnashram. So Prabhupada was laying down on the airplane. He couldn't even sit. Still, Srila Prabhupada came, even at that time. And when in New York in 1976, Prabhupada at the Rath Yatra, he got very sick. He got a cold. And then he was coming here for Rath Yatra, when he was coming here anyway. And devotees were, Prabhupada was asking, what should he do? Should he come? Because he was very sick, and devotees were encouraging him. No, Prabhupada, why don't you go to Texas? It's nice and warm. Go to somewhere else. When you come to England, it's going to be rainy. It's not good for you to be traveling on the airplane, air conditioning, and so on. So, but then at a certain point, Srila Prabhupada just said, no, I want to go. And he asked for the arrangements to be made so he could go to England. Prabhupada came to England. And but still at the last minute, devotees would tell him, no, Prabhupada, don't go, Prabhupada. He was coming down the elevator, don't go. And then Prabhupada got out the elevator, and the elevator door opened, and all these devotees doing kirtan, departure kirtan. Then Prabhupada, he turned to devotees who were trying to convince him. He said to travel. He says, I want the blessing to be able to fight for Krishna just like Arjuna to the last breath. And that was Srila Prabhupada's mood. Prabhupada wanted to be able to preach until the end, and that's why Prabhupada came, even at that time, to the West. First, Prabhupada said, I want to one more time travel around the world to encourage devotees before I leave. But then Prabhupada saw that was not going to work, so he wanted to go to Gita Nagari, and he wanted to teach the devotees how to establish Varnashrama. So tapyante lokatapena sadhavo prayasojana paramaradhanam tadhi purushaya kilatmanam. This is the way to... And then Srila Prabhupada would, amongst the different ways of preaching, he would always keep emphasizing, this is the best way. He says, you distribute books, and this is the best way of, amongst the best ways of preaching, this is the best way. And one becomes recognized by Krishna, and paramaradhanam, and then he becomes, by that service, he becomes qualified to go back home, back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Pamjan book distribution ki jai. Shishi Pancha Tattva ki jai. Jai Nitai Gopinandi.